I really want to talk about Epiphany, because that's the season that we're in, and what Don was sharing about these, what was hidden, invisible, is now seen. And the epiphanies of Christ, I think, I don't know if Susie, when she, because I was ill that day and missed the service, I don't know if Susie on the second Sunday, on the January the 2nd, if she shared about it, the wise man coming, the Magi, that was actually a an epiphany, one of the first epiphanies, but it was the manifestation of Christ to the world in the eyes of these foreigners that had come, and now they were seeing the glory of Christ. For the first time, the world was seeing the glory of Christ and his nativity. But the second one is John the Baptist and Christ coming. No, actually, I think the second one was the one we mentioned even during Christmastide, when he went for his into the temple and was manifested. That's another Epiphany passage. Well, John the Baptist's baptism is one of them. But this idea of manifestation, what was hidden is being manifested. It's Christ is appearing. And that's what this word epiphany, and it's right out of the Greek from these passages. It means to appear, to manifest, to reveal. It's a revelation. And so that's the season. It lasts for a little while until we get to Lenten season. But it deals with Christ's manifestation to the world, who he is and the glory of God. And Epiphany is important. And sometimes we don't think it's too important, but Epiphany is very important because Epiphany has a relationship to the character of God. It's the character and the heart of God. Because God loves Epiphany. He loves to manifest. He loves to show forth his will. He loves to show forth his glory. We have the Bible. That is a manifestation of God's revelation to us. And that's an epiphany. And sometimes we say we have what that we usually call an epiphany. A little light bulb goes over your head. I just remembered something, or, oh, that's a new thought. You know, that's what we call as an epiphany. But this theological word epiphany, we have it in the Bible because it's a revelation. It's a manifestation of God's will. Then the incarnation. Oh, my. The incarnation where the invisible God was made visible in flesh. Oh, and that's the verse for, I'm going to read in a minute. But and then we have the Holy Spirit, who pours forth the love of God into our hearts. And we say, wow. God is manifesting himself inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So all these things about Epiphany, this is the heart of God. This is the character of God, to reveal himself. And so God loves Epiphanies because God loves to reveal his glory. And so this verse, John 1:14, and I'll read it out of the New King James Version. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we're going to just look at two passages during this time of sharing on this, but not this time. I'm just going to look at one passage. And that's the first chapter of John where the baptism took place. And that's verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed. And John gave this testimony, and I saw the Spirit come down upon from heaven upon him as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom You see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. So God was manifested, or the Lamb of God was revealed at the baptism, because, and this takes going back to the Old Testament just a little bit, because it was in Genesis that the first Adam walking around naked in the garden, doing gardening work, and he was doing God's will. He was manifesting the glory of God. There was nothing artificially covered up anywhere in all of creation, and Adam, including Adam and Eve. And, but he was manifesting the glory of God, and then they sinned, and we fell, and we as a whole race fell short of the glory of God because we continue in sin. We fall short of the glory of God through sin. So he sinned and he fell short of the glory of God. But God promised the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. That's in a promise in Genesis 3:15, a very famous promise. But it's talking about Christ, the seed of the woman. There's only been one seed of the woman in the whole history of the human race, and that's Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. But sin's death penalty, sin had a death penalty, because God had said, you eat of this tree and you're going to die. So that was going to happen. And it says, even on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So death was an effect of both the act of their eating that fruit, but also the fruit itself. The act of eating that fruit was sin, and the wages of sin is death. That's death of in the spirit and in the body. But there was another kind of death, and it was probably just as important, but it's simultaneously with it when they ate that fruit, because in that fruit was independent knowledge of good and evil. In other words, your own morality. Now we have a mind and a morality that is separate, independent from God, and therefore our reasoning is faulty. And our morality is faulty. And that's why we have wars. That's why I'm right, you're right, I'm right. And we have wars. Well, death's postponement, they didn't die that day. It was postponed. Their death was postponed through an atonement. And that atonement was like the word covering. So we see God provided these sacrificial coverings. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and his wife to clothe them, and they had made aprons for themselves to hide their genitals, actually. But God made tunics to cover their whole body because their body was condemned to death. They needed a more complete covering for their sin. So death alone can atone, a blood sacrifice. And God rejected Cain's thing. He rejected Adam and Eve's covering of fig leaves, and he rejected Cain's offering of plant material. A blood sacrifice was needed, and we see that continuing in Abel's offering, and then we see it continuing in the law of Moses. So at the baptism, at John's baptism, here was the presentation now of the second Adam. Christ is called many times theologically the second Adam in Corinthians. But he was presented naked. And we have to understand this. They did not understand what our society looks like right now with a sex focus on the body. The mikveh Jewish baptism was a naked baptism because it symbolized you becoming naked like the innocence of Adam and Eve from sin. Well, Jesus was baptized that way with the under John the Baptist ministry, and it continued on for a couple of centuries in the early church of these nude baptisms, because there was a lot of rich theological information in that. But it also presented Jesus not just as the naked second Adam with his glory shining like it did in the beginning, but also the end of the animal sacrifices. He would not just cover over sin anymore. It would not be a kafar, a covering over, an atonement. It would be the taking away of sins. And that's what John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he was presented as a rescuer from Satan's power. And he rescued us from a false spirit by giving us the Holy Spirit. that false spirit had brought us to death through leading us into sin, and now God was going to fill us with the Holy Spirit to give us new life. So as we look at the first epiphany that was in John's baptism, how does that relate to us? How do we see the activities of our lives? Do we see them like John, like how he saw his life? Here's what he said. The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be manifested, that he might be revealed, that the world could see his glory. And so we look at that and we say, well, wait a minute. Then our service is not all about us. It's all about him. It's all about manifesting him. So we have to ask ourselves the question, do our activities that we do, are the things that we see our life involved in, is the reason I came to this video today, is the reason I came to California, the reason I came, the reason I became a minister, anything, is it to manifest Jesus? And we got to put that question out there through our lives. What is the purpose of our lives? Why are we doing what we do? Is it to reveal, is it to make an epiphany of Jesus in our lives? So nothing is covered up in all of creation. We have a naked universe except for sin. We have been covered and by this atonement, this covering. But this epiphany of Christ's naked baptism at the Jordan River, it far exceeded the glory that was revealed in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Why? It's because God himself, who was invisible with his glory, had now taken human form and now was on the earth. And even in his crucifixion, he was crucified that way on the cross naked, and he was showing forth the glory of God and blasting away. That's how the early church fathers saw it. By his naked crucifixion, he destroyed the principalities and powers who covered everything with lies. He destroyed the lies. He opened up the veil in the temple. It's like, wow, he revealed everything. So we look at Jesus Christ's revelation as a manifestation of God's grace. His glory is the manifestation of his grace and his truth. And those are two terms that we need to really keep close in our ideas. He has, by his grace, removed our sin and not just covered it up. He's actually taken away our sin, and he has crushed Satan's dominion over us. So we, like John, have to take a look at our lives and say, do we see ourselves as ones who are coming here, doing what we're doing in life to reveal his glory? And then we can join God, join John in saying that God has blessed us, and I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. You know, and that's the testimony we need to have. And that doesn't finish this whole study, but it does help us to see what is our purpose. And we have 1 minute left, less than 1 minute. And so I'm going to pray real quick. Lord God, please help us with these meetings that I'll understand how the time thing works, and help us to keep getting together and more people perhaps. Bless this week. Help us to keep you in the front and manifest you in your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.